Morning, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning. All right. First and foremost, I would like to congratulate a group of students who were here yesterday. They actually came out last night and played powerfully and actually won class of the classes. The seniors won. So let's give them a round of applause that they know how to play kickball. All right. I also wanted to let you know, just an announcement, that Alex Eddy's going to be here from Cincinnati Seminary. He's going to be here through lunchtime today. He's going to have his stuff set up to the side. If you're interested in pursuing master's work and that sort of thing through Cincinnati, catch up with him. He's got a lot of good information. They have a great program there, so you'll see him. He's in the back right now. Wave your hand for everybody. That's Alex. He's a great guy. Just catch up with him. Let him know what's going on here at MacU too. So with that, I'm turning it over to the guys this morning.
Yeah, nice round of applause there. Good job. Let's see. I'm going to read some scripture here to start off with. This is Genesis 1, 1 through 25 there. This sounds loud. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God said that light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruits and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give the light on earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of this in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Will you pray with me? God, in reading this and in hearing this, we are humbled by knowing that you are our creator. God, we thank you for the blessings that this is, the account that we have here in your scripture. God, we thank you for all the things that were created that we can see, God, and we can touch physically. God, we thank you so much for that. God, right now in this chapel service, we ask that you be with Ray and his words, God, that he will move us, that he will inspire us to enjoy your creation more, God, to worship you more wholly, God, and to see you move through us. God, we love you and we thank you for your son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I get this tucked away. Wow, that was kind of... Good morning. All right, we're going to have a tough morning today if you guys are quiet, because I'm going to need some interaction. First of all, is it any surprise that four guys got together for chapel and there's no music? Let alone four preachers? I mean, you didn't think it was going to happen, did you? The account that Brian read, there's a lot there. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go with all of the scripture or just kind of give you a gist of an overview, I should say, of what happened for those days of creation. But it's interesting for us to have the account there. It's good for us to know what took place and what God did. And the greatest part we didn't even mention yet. See, on that sixth day, when God was done and he created everything, as Brian went through, then God decided, you know what, it's not quite complete yet. And that's when he made man. And verse 26 says that God said, let us make man in our image. And Brandon, I need you to come up here because I want to illustrate this in the best way I can. We're going to try with Brian. Your name's Brian. I don't know where I got that from. This is Brandon. Everyone say, hello, Brandon.
Hello, Brandon.
It's pretty good. Now, we're going to have to pretend just a little bit this morning, okay? I want you to pretend that we are back at the beginning of creation when God made the first man, okay? The perfect man. So we're going to have to imagine very heavily this morning that's happening. Okay, now I think this is important. We need to understand God created everything, but then when he created man, it says that he formed him out of the dust of the ground. And I think that's really cool because that shows that God got involved. He got his hands dirty. And so any of you, when you have kids and they're playing in the dirt, don't fuss at them. They're just being godlike, right? Now, if they start eating it, that might be different. I don't know that God ate any of the dirt. But anyway, God, he got his hands dirty. He started to work in the dirt and form and create man. And that's what I kind of want to envision us doing this morning, okay? So I can kind of, you know, scholars, they debate some of the dumbest things. And so they even debate whether God began at the feet and worked his way up or whether he stopped at the head and worked his way down. I think it's silly, but I'll tell you this. I'm old and I don't feel like bending down, so we're going to start up here, okay? So I can imagine at that moment, God is starting to form man, okay, and he starts to create the head, and he gives him some eyes so that he can see God, and gives him ears so he can hear God, and gives him a mouth so he can communicate with God, all right? He gives him a little bit of hair. Now, all true scholars know that the first man who was perfect didn't have any hair. We already know that anyway. But anyways, we're imagining, so he's got hair, he's got ears, and so God begins to create man, and I can see as he moves down his neck, and he comes maybe out an arm, and he comes across here, and he's forming the arm, and he's forming the hand and the fingers, and he starts to put bone and blood and muscle. So he might have skipped the muscle part, but he's creating man as he's coming across, and maybe he comes over and he does this side, and he kind of continues down and finishes off that perfect creation, the first man. And then the Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into man. You have any Tic Tacs? No? He's got a Halls. We're going to pretend that we've breathed the breath of life. And so everybody say, thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right, Brandon, you can take a seat. Thank you, buddy. So I think it's important because we are created differently than anything else in creation. Now, evolutionists, they don't want us to believe that. They want us to believe that I don't even know exactly where we came from. I'm not exactly sure, because I know that there was some rain and some ooze, and then there was a rock. Were we a rock and then the ooze? Were we the ooze first and then the rock? I'm still confused about that, but they'll tell us that we came from monkeys and apes. My question is, if that's the case, why do we still have monkeys and apes? Anyway, evolution will tell you don't have value. You're just matter. You don't matter. Society will say you have no place in this world. You have no value. Your life is just what it is. It's basically pointless. And yet the Bible tells us that we have value. In fact, we see it in this creation account that we have value. God created us in His image. We're created like no other creature ever. And so I want you to know first and foremost that because you are made in the image of God, you have value. So everybody say that with me. Because I am made in the image of God, I have value. Let's do it again. Because I am made in the image of God, I have value. One more time so everybody says it. Because I am made in the image of God, I have value. Good job. You know, there was an American who was walking around in Hong Kong and visiting, and he happened to go by some, I shouldn't say by some, he was walking past some tattoo shops, and he noticed one particular tattoo advertised in several of the shops, and it was a tattoo that simply just said, "Born to Lose." And so he was intrigued after he noticed three of them, and he went in and he talked to the tattoo artist there, and he asked, does anybody ever really get this tattoo? And in the best broken English that this guy could muster, he said, it's one of our most popular tattoos. And so the American asked, how is it even possible that anybody could have Born to Lose put anywhere on their body? And again, with broken English, he said, before tattoo on body, first tattoo on mind. You know, it's what they believe, it's what they feel. That's the equivalent to us having a tattoo that says loser somewhere on our body. That's how society would have us believe that we are, that we don't have value, that we don't matter. But we do have value. In fact, let me illustrate it this way. No, this is a $1 bill. Now, this doesn't have much value, so I'm not going to use this, but I want to tell you, this is gold. If you are a married man with teenagers in the house, I'm just going to pass on that one really quickly, but we're going to use a bill that you can all relate to. This is a $100 bill, and it's real. Of course, my wife is here, so it goes right straight back to her. I get to hold it, so I'm going to hold it for a little while. $100 bill. Now, let me ask you the obvious question. This is a dumb question, but I have to ask it. What is the value of this bill? $100. Good job. I'm glad nobody got that wrong, because Professor Reese, you'd be in trouble. $100. So, well, what if I fold it in half? Now what's it worth? Somebody said $50. I feel sorry for you. You thought I was bad in algebra. Man, so sorry. I think it's still $100, actually. But what if I put it in my pocket? How much is it worth? Yeah, these are easy questions. I'm trying to make it easy for you this morning. I know how it goes sitting in chapel. This is going to be tough. What if I crumble it up? Is it still $100? If I throw it down, what if I stomp on it and rub it in a little bit? It's still $100. Yeah, you know why? Is it because of the paper? Because the paper is worth $100, or the pitcher? How about he's almost bald, Mr. Franklin there. Is it the pitchers? They're so pretty, they're worth $100? No, it's because the person who designed this dollar bill had the authority to place the value upon it. Let me illustrate it this way. Some of you have seen my car. Some of you haven't. I haven't been driving it lately, but some of you have seen it. It's a beautiful car. It's a 1992 Toyota Corolla. It's got 250,000 miles. It fires right up. I shouldn't say it doesn't fire up. It starts right up. That would be, fire up would be bad. It starts right up. The heater will toast your eyebrows off. The air conditioner will freeze you out all in a matter of seconds. Very dependable. It's got more duct tape and rust than it has paint. But I love it. Now, if I were to tell you that I was going to sell my car for $150,000, would anybody be interested? No, you guys are even shaking your heads. You're doing good this morning. What if I told you it had sentimental value, though? How about then? No, it doesn't have any sentimental value to you, does it? Of course. What if I told you, though, that there are only four cars like it in the entire world? And the other cars are selling for the same amount of money, though. Now would that at least make you think, well, it's at least worth the $150,000? Maybe, maybe not. I would pay it. I love my car. See, the point is, somebody will pay something if they feel that it's valuable, if they feel that it's worth purchasing. And so I want you to know, you don't only have value because you're made in God's image, but He purchased you. He paid for you with the blood of Christ. And so you have value because you are made in the image of God. Now, next, I want you to know that also because you are made in the image of God, you have a responsibility. That's a big one. So everybody, let's repeat it again. I want to make sure when you leave, I want to make sure you know these points this morning. So, because I am made in the image of God, I have a responsibility. Let's do it again. Because I am made in the image of God, I have a responsibility. Good. So Professor Phillips isn't even here, and I'm doing all this memorization and repetition. I'm doing all these good things. He's not even here to see it. Man, oh well. Because you're made in the image of God, you have a responsibility. I don't know if you understand exactly what that means. That means we can't listen to evolutionists. We can't listen to society who tell us that we don't have any value, we don't have any meaning, we don't have a purpose in life. So therefore, we don't have any responsibilities. We owe nothing to anyone. But yet the Bible tells us that we're made in the image of God. And so we have value, but we have a responsibility. I don't know if you could think, just think deeply for one moment here, that you are made in God's image. Everything you do should be a reflection of the Creator. I wonder how well we do that. I don't. I can tell you that right now. I don't do a good job at that all the time. I'm not always a good reflection of the Creator. Anybody ever lose their temper? Yeah, I do. Anybody ever have a good opportunity to speak to someone and share Christ and you don't? We have a responsibility. I think we fall down a lot in that area. We don't step up. We can listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. He says, be merciful as the Lord your God is merciful. He says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And now, of course, we're thinking, perfect? You got to be kidding me. How's that even possible? Well, that Greek word doesn't mean perfect in the sense that we think. It means a completeness. It means a maturity. So Jesus is really saying, you know what? Grow up. I think that's a good message for us today. Grow up. I don't know that we take that seriously enough. I don't know that we take our value seriously enough. I don't know that we walk around at any time in any day really believing that we're made in the image of God and that we have value, that we have a purpose, and that we have a responsibility in this world. Jesus said, grow up. Well, that's not the message you wanted to hear this morning. Nobody wants to hear the preacher come in with the original PowerPoint. was a joke, and tell you all to grow up. I just want you to know this message is something that I've had in my heart for a long time. I've had to study a lot. I've had to pray a lot. I've had to come through a lot of hardships, a lot of difficult times and moments to get to the point where I could understand that this life isn't about Ray. And I had to grow up. The bottom line is this. I only get one shot today. I can only talk to you guys once. This is it. This is my chapel. Now, some of you are thinking, that's okay if I never have to hear you speak again. I'm all right with that. And so I had to think for a long time. I've prayed for over a year because I knew I was going to have to, actually I knew I was going to preach a long time ago. So I've been praying for a long time, but specifically for a year I've been praying, what message am I going to bring? What am I going to say? What am I going to say to the student body one time? Just once, that's all I get. I'm probably never going to speak to some of you ever again other than Facebook. Probably won't see some of you. Most likely never preach to any of you again. And so what do I say? Well, what can I say that's so profound, that's so amazing that you're going to walk away and say, I'll remember that message. I don't know if this is it. But I know it's a message we need. It's a message we need to have, we need to hear. We need to grow up. We need to take the responsibility that's been given to us, and we need to do something with it. See, I don't want to just stand here and say stuff, because that's no good. I want to say things that are going to they're going to better myself and better all of you, things that are they're going to build you up and improve your relationship and your walk with Christ. You know, Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your Father in heaven and glorify him. I'm just really curious how many times we don't let our light shine. How many times we come in contact with someone who is in great need of hearing a word, and we're silent. I can see it. I can see it in your eyes as I'm looking around. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not here to beat on you. I'm here with you. This is something I think we all need to step up and do. In ministry, you're going to have moments where life isn't going to feel so wonderful. And you're going to have times where you're going to be discouraged. You're going to have times where you're going to seriously doubt why God even called you and put you in the position that you're in. And it's easy to turn tail and head the other way. But it's those moments we need to remember. We need to grow up. We have a responsibility. We're all in here because we all feel we've been called into ministry and service in the kingdom. And that's something we can't take lightly. We can't put our hands to the plow and turn back. So that's it. We need to grow up. Everything we do has to be a reflection of the Creator. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for this message, Lord. We're thankful for Ray and the prayer and the thought and the experience that went into preparing this message, Lord. And we all know that we've gone through some of the same experiences and the same hardships, and we're just thankful that you overcame this world and we don't have to struggle with that stuff because you've saved us from that. Lord, help us to realize our value, help us to realize our responsibility, but most of all, help us to realize that we need to be mature, we need to grow up, and just show this world your light. And when we come across darkness, Lord, we need to shine bright and strong. Be with us through the rest of this week. Help us to be diligent in our schoolwork and to glorify you in this kingdom, and your kingdom in this world, Lord. It's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.